Green Bay Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for training camp. Players report today on Friday. Practice starts tomorrow. To talk about all matters Green Bay Packers, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have, of the Times of Northwest Indiana, we have Paul Oren, a beat reporter for Valparaiso Basketball. You might think that's weird, but he is an owner, a shareholder of the Green Bay Packers. Mr. Oren, how are you doing this morning?
You know, it's like a holiday for me. I'm so excited. You know, the players are back to work, and I feel like it's a holiday, so I took today off.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear you have time off to discuss the Green Bay Packers. So, I mean, that's good. We're good for the next 3 hours to break the team down, right?
Yeah, I don't know that I got 3 hours, but you guys might.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm teasing you. Paul, seeing as you're an owner, yesterday was the annual shareholders meeting. I wanted to pick your brain on a couple topics that came up yesterday that President Mark Murphy kind of touched upon. He expects the Packers to be playing in London soon. Didn't give it an exact date, but expects the Packers will be playing there in the next couple seasons. Are you looking forward to seeing the Packers playing a game in London?
You know, I think there's a lot of good and a lot of, you know, I guess bad that could come with it. You know, I will probably in the next couple days take a look at how teams have fared coming off of the London trip. I think almost all of those teams, I think they get their bye week right after that. But I'd be curious just to see maybe what the first four games are for each of those teams after the London trip, just to see, you know, if there's a regression at all. Obviously, I thought Murphy made, you know, great comments. They're not going to give up a home game. That would never happen. And, you know, I think it's a testament to how great the brand of the Green Bay Packers is when, you know, the St. Louis Rams reportedly said, yeah, we're supposed to play in London, but we're not going to play the Packers in London because we know that the Green Bay fan base is going to travel. It sounds like Jacksonville in 2016 would be the game, because I don't know that anybody goes to Jacksonville. I think it would be exciting. I think, you know, the ability to have the Packers on a worldwide stage, you know, Jerry Jones can be America's team all he wants to, but if the Green Bay Packers could be the world's team, I think that would be just fine.
Another issue that came up yesterday, and nothing official here, but Mark Murphy said he expects to see the team institute variable ticket pricing next season. Lower prices for preseason games, higher prices for premium regular season games. Would you be happy to see that?
Well, I think, you know, I think that a lot of the league has come under fire for you know, the way that they handle the preseason. So I think that it certainly means a lot if they finally admit, look, we know that it's a different product than the regular season, so we're going to charge different. You know, for me, Brian, and I'm not sure what kind of connections you have, but I don't know that I've walked up to a ticket window at Lambeau Field in my life and bought a ticket. So I'm not sure that variable pricing is going to do a whole lot for me. I know that it's going to change the prices on the open market, but I'm just going to rely on you guys for my ticket hookup from now on, and I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think it mostly has to do with the person who doesn't have season tickets and is just, you know, going to buy them on the secondary market, whether it's StubHub or, you know, the person standing on the street corner that might be a little bit cheaper for a preseason game. I think those are the people that will be impacted. Paul...
You know, and let me make a point. Okay. a point really quick. That market's already been variable. You know, I think I took my family to a preseason game a couple of years ago against the Chiefs, and I think we had tickets for $35.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone to games against the Vikings where it's $150 a ticket. I went to a game against the Titans where it was $75 for a ticket because it was 4 degrees outside. You know, that kind of variable pricing has already been there. This might just put a more of a face on it a little bit, but I don't know that there's going to be a huge change on the secondary market. I think there will be a lot of people trying to sell their tickets for more, but they're going to be for the games that people are going to pay more for anyway. I'd always pay more to go see the Bears than I would, say, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I guess it helps the person selling the ticket, too, in that, you know, they don't have to accept 35. It's already a little bit lower, so they're making their money back on selling the ticket. Anyway, the Packers, Mark Murphy acknowledged the Packers have put in a bid to host the NFL draft. It's not going to happen in 2015, but would you want to see some point in the future the NFL draft being held in Green Bay?
You know, I'm excited that there's a possibility it's going to be in the Midwest, in a city that should remain nameless next year. I'm going if it's in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be exciting to have it in Green Bay. I think, you know, everybody needs to go to Green Bay. You know, all teams should get there. Everyone should check out Lambeau Field and see what they've got there. I think it'd be interesting to have the draft there. I mean, for as long as we've known, it's always been a New York thing, and it's really only been in the last year or so that there's been talk of it moving. I'd be curious to see if it goes to Chicago or LA this year, which it sounds like it's going to be one of those two, to see how that show kind of travels. And if it's a success in one of those two cities, I don't see any reason why the NFL shouldn't be having the draft in different markets every year. I just think that it's an exciting thing. I mean, who doesn't love the Jets fans going crazy and booing their guy regardless of who they pick? I think that'd be great. I'm really, if it's in Chicago, I'm really curious to see kind of what fan bases show up. I mean, I certainly would be there in a heartbeat. I love the NFL draft. I know you do as well. I mean, who wouldn't want to go? I've been to a Milwaukee Bucks draft party before, and that was a fun time back when they picked Sean Respert in 1995. Oh, it was a terrible draft. But, I'm looking forward to the draft possibly being in Chicago this year, and I'd welcome it, you know, up in Green Bay as well.
Yeah, I agree. It should just travel around, I think. I think everywhere in the NFL, you know, at some point, or at least most places, would be a good place, just a, you know, different place every year. Chicago one year, LA the next, Green Bay the next, whatever. I think that'd be great. Mark Murphy indicated the Packers are hopeful of having Brett Favre back for a game this season. What is your stance on Favre, and what should happen as far as honoring him, and when?
Look, I know the Packers want to milk this for what they can, because obviously if Favre is going to be at the game, that's going to, you know, if we're talking variable pricing or whatever, I mean, that's, you're going to pay more if you think Favre is there. If they're talking about Favre being booed or whatever, here's the thing. And I think I saw this. I don't know if this was you or who it was that put this out there. Unannounced, before a game, ladies and gentlemen, please draw your attention to the center of the field, Packer legends Bart Starr and Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
And just completely unannounced, those two guys walk out there together. The place would go nuts. I mean, the place would just go absolutely nuts. And, you know, have that be Favre's kind of reintroduction. Pair him with Bart Starr, and right there, that's the way. But don't announce that you're doing it. Just have him show up to a game. You know, if you announce that he's coming to a game, then there's all, are you going to boo? Are you not going to boo? I think in the heat of the moment, I think Packer fans are going to understand, look, the guy had a great run with Green Bay, had some craziness at the end of his career, but I think at the end of the day, Brett Favre is a Green Bay Packer. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame. You know, it's not quite baseball. They don't wear hats. But, I mean, he's going to be thought of as a Green Bay Packer for his career. You know, years from now, you know, when we think about Joe Montana, when I think about Joe Montana, I think about the 49ers. I don't think about the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know where we'll be with Peyton Manning down the road because, you know, he did take the Broncos to a Super Bowl. But, when I take a look at Brett Favre, he's a Green Bay Packer. I wouldn't boo the guy. The guy gave me 15 years of great memories, and I'm looking forward to a couple more. I hope to go to the Hall of Fame game when he's there, and I certainly would stand up and clap for the guy if he came back to Lambeau Field.
That is an interesting point you just made about the variable ticket pricing. I don't think the Packers actually have that in mind, but if and when it does happen, and if it happens in 2015 or beyond, you can almost assure the game his number jersey is retired is a game that will be one of those premium ticket prices.
Absolutely.
We're talking to Paul Oren of the Times of Northwest Indiana here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning at the opening of training camp. Paul, report yesterday by ESPN, Jordy Nelson seeking $10 million a season. Do you think that's fair? And how much do you think, how do you think he's worth?
You know, if you're going to compare it against Roddy White's contract, which is basically what it looks like we're doing, I mean, Roddy White kind of set the market, I guess. I think Nelson is 3 years younger than White, I think is what I saw. And he doesn't have the same consistency level that Roddy White has had, except for this past year when White was banged up. But over the last 3 years, Nelson has been, you know, he's ridiculously good. I think he's worth it. I really do. I wonder what's going to happen because, by and large, the Packers don't like to spend a lot of money on their receivers. But I think after losing Jennings and now Jones and Driver to retirement, I think they've got to extend both Nelson and Cobb. Nelson did the Packers a solid a couple of years ago when he took that deal, which I guess at the time looked like a fair deal, but I think we all pretty much knew right away as he kind of outplayed his contract in the first year. And he really could have held out or really done something there to say, look, give me more. I mean, what you're seeing, what Marshawn Lynch is going to hold out right now. I mean, that guy gets paid solid money. And I think the Packers have been very fortunate with the way that Nelson's conducted himself. And if he says he wants $10 million and the Packers have it to give, I think the guy's worth it, in my opinion. Now, you got to extend Randall Cobb as well. But beyond those two, you really, for the next 3 or 4 years, are going to have another group of receivers that are going to be relatively cheap. So I don't know that the Packers are hamstringing themselves too much if they do, in fact, acquiesce to what the contract demands are for Nelson and eventually what it'll be for Randall Cobb as well.
Okay, $10 million, but how many years at $10 million are you going to give Jordy Nelson at 29 years old?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. The thing with NFL contracts is that this isn't the NBA. You can sign him to X amount of deal, but, you know, there's always restructuring and stuff like that. Nelson's been very consistent over the years, and, maybe a four-year deal, five-year deal. Probably four is where I think. I just think that he's been consistent over the last 3 years. The guy, even when he's hurt, he fights through that. I think the Packers got to take care of their own, and they certainly have done that with Rodgers and Matthews, and you know, they got Shields some money. I think it's time to pay Jordy Nelson. I'd be curious to see what the I read the story, and I'd be curious to see the context in which all of the stuff, him saying that he wants $10 million, came out. This wasn't a guy, I don't think, you rolled up to training camp and set up shop for all the media to come up to him and he started spouting off contract demands. I mean, I'd be curious to see what the question was, the framing and everything. I don't necessarily know that he's demanding $10 million or he's going to hold out or he's not going to play or, you know, he's not going to be a team player. I just think that Nelson wants to be paid what he's worth, and I think he's proved it over the last couple of years. He took a very team-friendly contract this past deal. I think it's time to pay the guy.
Yeah, it's interesting how that you know, this information is leaked. The $10 million a season is only one part of the equation, an important one, but I mean, the years and the guaranteed money are also, you know, just as important and play into negotiations as well. Paul, this is tight end position preview day here at Railbird Central, so just
sure.
a few...
Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah. Just a few questions on the tight end position here. You know, what's your reaction just generally to the position, knowing it's rather unsettled without JerMichael Finley?
I think there's a lot of talent there. I think there's certainly a lot of question marks, and I think this is what's exciting about training camp. You know, I'm talking to some friends of mine who are fans of other teams, and I'm telling them how excited I am for training camp to start, and they're like, whatever, games don't matter till September. Well, who's going to be on the field in September certainly matters in July and August.
Yeah.
And the tight end position, you know, whether it's Corliss or whether it's the guy from Oregon, you know, what is it, Bostic's in the mix. They've got all sorts of guys out there. Rogers from California, I'm very curious to see if he can continue what he did at OTAs. I think everyone's going to get a shot. I think the guy from Oregon, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Is it Lierla?
Lierla, I think. Yeah.
I've heard like three different versions of it. You know, obviously, I mean, we're playing with house money with that guy. I mean, if he works, great. If not, whatever. They've got other players. They've got that one roster spot open right now. I'm curious.
They do not. Oh, yeah, they do. That's right. They made the two transactions. Go ahead.
Yeah.
My bad.
So they're coming in with one roster spot right now. And I think, you know, you as well as I follow these cryptic text messages or tweets from JerMichael Finley every other day. Let's try this again, Green Bay, or back home where people love me for who I am. And it's very curious to kind of watch this all unfold. Obviously, I'd like to see Finley. I was at the game against the Browns when he got hurt, and no one wants to be stretchered off in their final play in the NFL. I'd love to see him come back, but I think Corliss is a guy that is ready to break out. I mean, if you hear that moment after the 49ers game where Aaron Rodgers goes up to Corliss in the locker room and says, "I want to see you back here," you know, makes it a point to seek out Corliss and basically tell him, look, this is important to me that you're here. But I mean, this guy Richard Rodgers really sounds like he can be a stud, and I'm really looking forward to see what he has to offer as well.
What are your expectations for the two rookies, Richard Rodgers, Colt Lierla? What do you expect out of them in 2014?
Well, yeah, obviously Rodgers will make the team. The other one, who knows? I mean, the guy, if he lives life right, doesn't keeps his mouth shut and doesn't do any trouble and it performs to the level that he's supposed to do, then I'm certainly looking forward to him making the roster. But I mean, who do you cut? I mean, this sounds like it's going to be a five tight end year for the Packers. Obviously Rodgers looks like a guy that's going to make an impact immediately. I'd like to see what he does when the games start, but Rodgers from California have worked out pretty well for the Packers in the past. So I still think, I mean, like I said, good luck trying to break down this position, because I think this is the one with this and maybe inside linebacker are the ones with the biggest question marks. Tight end, because there's a lot of them, inside linebacker, because there's maybe not a lot of them. But, I'm really looking for, I think Rodgers is going to be very good. They got to stay healthy. But we've seen tight ends come in with expectations. Corliss when he came in, Finley when he came in. But I'm really excited about Rodgers. And the other one, you know, I guess we'll see. I'm a little hesitant, if only because I participate in a college football fantasy league, and I had the guy from Oregon on my team, and he got suspended, and it messed up my whole team.
Yeah, that's it was an interesting year for Colt Lierla last year. A little difficult on fantasy football owners.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
It really, really messed up my whole team.
Paul, last question before I let you go here. What do they do with the last roster spot? Do they spend it on Finley? Is it Johnny Jolly, Ryan Pickett? Is it just some rookie whose name we don't even know but has potential? What do they do with it?
Well, I don't know if you saw the tweet from Nick Barnett.
It's true.
Said, let Uncle Ted know I'm ready to come home. you want an inside linebacker? Okay. I think that's a good question. I think that you've got to keep it there for Finley right now. And if Finley's available, look, the Packers, I think will have. I mean, they should have contract leverage. There's a report that was it the Steelers who talked to Finley, but the contract numbers weren't where he wanted. I think the guy needs to figure out if he's cleared, what price he wants to play football at. Because the Packers are going to pay him as little as they can, obviously, because they're trying to save money for some other guys. But I think you gotta hold that spot for him, or Jolly. I think, you know, if Jolly's neck is good, I still think the guy can play football. It sounds like they may have moved on without him. But, the Packers like to bring their own back. You know, obviously they brought back Jolly this past year. You know, the years they've brought back Amon Green. They care about their own, and I think that, you know, maybe a Nick Barnett. I haven't really followed what he did with the Redskins, I think, for a little bit, and the Bills. I didn't really follow what he's done in the past couple of years, but he certainly is someone who may very well still be, as long as he gets, as long as he's in the team picture, I think he'll be okay mentally. But he might be a guy that the Packers could look at as well. Or he's just joking and is ready to retire. Who knows?
We'll see. We'll find out. Paul, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us this morning. I appreciate it. Enjoy your day off. Spend it well.
It's my pleasure. Thank you guys very much, and happy training camp day.
All right, take care. Paul Loren of the Times of Northwest Indiana joining us here. Like I said, typically his day job employs him as a beat writer for Valparaiso Basketball, but he's an owner of the Green Bay Packers, and we like that here on the show. Continuing our discussion of the Packers as they open training camp, I just wanted to give some quick thoughts on Jordy Nelson before, you know, kind of continuing the discussion about the tight end position here. We talked about Paul about Jordy Nelson and this, you know, report that he's seeking $10+ million a year. And again, I just want to caution people to not put too much stock into that $10 million per year figure, because there are, you can structure a contract in so many different ways as to, it doesn't really matter the dollars per year. If Jordy Nelson wants a 5-year extension, and I don't think the Packers should give him one, I mean, they can make concessions by giving him more money instead of more years. And that's just one example. I'm not saying that's the case. Another way, Jordy Nelson wants $10 million a year, but, you know, I've seen a lot of people just, you know, throw it there. They don't think he's worth quite that much. And, well, it could be $7, $8, $9 million a year, but in exchange, he gets more guaranteed money, you know, in the form of a signing bonus or things like that. So, I mean, there's so many different ways to structure a contract. Don't get hung up on the numbers per year figure. The guaranteed money is pretty much usually almost the more accepted version of valuing a player. You know, like if you were to look at the guaranteed money, most of it coming through signing bonuses, the guaranteed money, that's how much you rank what players are worth. You know, who gets the most guaranteed money among wide receivers, and where does Jordy Nelson fit among that hierarchy? Probably the more accurate figure in terms of figuring out what a player's worth and where they might fit in. So just be careful with that figure as you kind of, you know, there's going to be discussions, you know, a lot in the next few days as, you know, players report to training camp. And, you know, I kind of thought, originally this just keeps kind of playing out as well. I thought Jordy Nelson would sign his extension before the NFL draft, before the offseason program. Didn't happen. I thought it would happen before the start of training camp, and while we still have today, before practice starts tomorrow, not looking like that's going to happen. The next, you know, big landmark would be before the start of the regular season. Again, I have no clue when this thing's going to happen. I thought it would have happened already. It didn't, and now we're still talking about it, but we'll see how it all plays out. Tight ends. We got into it a lot with Paul Orrin, but I kind of wanted to break it down a little bit player by player here as we continue our position by position training camp preview here at Railbird Central. We'll get into the offensive linemen in our next episode next week. So tight ends, you know, JerMichael Finley, let's assume for the time being he's gone. Nothing, no doors closed yet, but he's not on the roster right now. When JerMichael Finley, if and when he comes back, we'll discuss him. The starter, I believe, and I warn this all the time, the term starter only means who plays the first play of the game. And sometimes that can just be an honorary title. As long as Andrew Corliss is on the roster, the most veteran player, I think he might be, you know, the guy who's announced coming out of the tunnel. You know, he's the guy who might play the first play of the game. And you know, it makes sense, too, I think, because he's probably the most, you know, the tight end that's most considered an inline tight end. Your blocker, even though his blocking skills have diminished greatly since he suffered that, you know, terrible torn ligaments in his knee, multiple ligaments, dating back to 2011 now. It was a terrible injury. He's made an admirable comeback, but hasn't come back all the way. Took a big step last year. I'm hopeful he'll take another big step and we'll just put that, you know, knee injury behind him. Just a little bit more, put it behind him. And maybe he gets back to being a better blocker, but I think he's kind of your starter again, the guy who plays on early downs in terms of being a run blocker. It kind of sounds like Richard Rodgers is bulking up, and maybe they're hoping he can kind of be an inline tight end too, or just kind of a flex tight end. But, you know, I think Andrew Corliss is that guy for the time being. They signed him to a 2-year contract in the offseason. Not for a ton of money by any means, but enough that you expect he's going to be around at least for 2014 and kind of, you know, the future kind of depends on maybe how he does in 2014. Then, you know, after him, I'm almost putting more stock into the rookies than I am Brandon Bostic. Not that I'm, you know, have anything against Bostic, but I think there's more potential in these rookies, perhaps. Of course, Richard Rodgers, third-round draft choice. The Packers aren't going to cut him. I mean, he's going to be a part of the team. How big of a role he plays, I mean, 99% odds he makes the team. There's a small chance if he were to be an absolute flop if they'd cut him, but, you know, odds are slim that happens. How much of a role Richard Rodgers plays, you know, depends basically on how he performs in training camp and preseason and the entire month of August, you know, everything included. He looked the part from all indications during the offseason program, minicamp, OTAs, all of that, you know, got a lot of very good publicity. But again, that was a time period where they're in shorts and helmets and not in pads. They're not hitting. I saw an interview, I think, with tight ends coach Jerry Fontenot that Richard Rodgers is putting on weight. And again, maybe he can be that sort of flex tight end. He was never used as an inline tight end much. I take back the word never, but his last season at the University of California rarely used as an inline tight end. And before that, he did some, you know, prior to 2013. But again, still kind of a flex guy, you know, would line up out wide, would line up in line, more of an outside perimeter type of guy, or you know, two-point stance type of guy. I think there's a lot of potential there. From everything I've heard, he's got had the best pair of hands of any tight end in the 2014 draft class. The best pair of hands, so catching the football. Not necessarily speed, you know, stretching the seam, but a reliable guy who, if the ball's thrown to him, he's going to grab it. So that's worth something, no doubt about it. He's going to have to work real hard to get open, seeing as he doesn't possess elite speed. It's good, but not elite. But as long as, you know, if he's one of those guys who can, you know, just come down with the football, you know, no matter where it's put, you know, if it's a little bit off center and he's got to go back to catch it, or, you know, he's got to make a leaping grab. If he can make those, that certainly can be a very big bonus as well. Colt Laierla, I think as long as he stays out of trouble, and I think odds are he stays out of trouble, I think he'll make the roster. And I think he has a chance to contribute just because of his raw skills he's had. And everything, you know, since he's been signed, which again hasn't been long, but I mean, we're talking, what, a month and a half now, probably, since Colt Laierla signed with the Packers. Everything's been hunky-dory. There's been no indication that he's reverting back to old form or anything like that. As long as he keeps his nose clean, and you could interpret that in several different ways, I think he has a chance of being a contributor to the 2014 Green Bay Packers. And again, it all depends on how he does in training camp. I mean, I can't sit here and say he's going to be the starter. I mean, I haven't seen him practice yet, nor has anybody else in pads. We start to find out tomorrow what he's made out of. And practice is only one part of the equation. Preseason games, exhibition games, be a big part of that too. Now, getting to Brandon Bostic, you know, I think people want to like Brandon Bostic, and I do too. I want to like him. And people compare him to JerMichael Finley in that they both have good movement skills. You know, the story on Brandon Bostic is he was a college basketball player. So, you know, very athletic, and it goes back to the whole, history of tight ends in the NFL who were former college basketball players like Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates. But I just, you know, JerMichael Finley was 6'5", if not, you know, fractions bigger, whereas Brandon Bostic is 6'3". You can get things done at 6'3", no doubt about it. You can get things done in the NFL as a tight end at 6'3". But the good ones, the JerMichael Finleys, the Antonio Gates, the Tony Gonzalez's, these guys are all above 6'3". And I just hesitate to put him in the same category or think that he can do the same things as him, as them. I'm not ruling anything out. Certainly it helps that Brandon Bostic is now in his third year in the NFL. You know, his rookie season, I think he was on the practice season the whole entire year. The first year he was signed, he was still technically probably considered a rookie last year. But last year he got a cup of coffee in 2013. He scored that nice long touchdown, I remember. Catch and run to score a TD. Was it against the Giants last year? There's potential there with Brandon Bostic. I'm not entirely on board. But again, I want to see what he does in training camp. Let's see how much he improved. Let's see how much he's improved. Show it to me, and then I'll be on board. I need to see it to believe it, I guess. Interesting for, you know, how many, I know Paul Oren just said, looks like a year they're going to keep five tight ends. I don't know. They could, certainly. People are saying they're going to keep six wide receivers. Okay, I mean, how many receiving targets are the Packers going to keep? This is becoming quite a big number between six wide receivers and five tight ends. That means they're keeping less bodies at some other position. Not necessarily a bad thing if they're good bodies, but, you know, it's a tough decision. I'm not sure. You know, a guy who's going to be on the roster bubble is Ryan Taylor, who's now, I believe, what? He's entering his fourth year in the NFL. He's kind of been the special teams ace among tight ends, been making the roster based upon his special teams play. And that can only take you so far in the NFL. He's got to start proving he can either... He's got to go in two directions. And it doesn't matter here. He can make a living either way. But you got to be either a special teams ace, I mean, the best special teams player on the roster, if you're going to continue to make your, you know, living that way, which he hasn't been. He's been an okay special teams player, but he hasn't been the Jarrett Bush ace out there, you know, making tackles and, you know, just doing all sorts of, you know, part of every unit, that kind of thing. Or he's got to be a greater contributor on offense. Now, the one thing I do like about Ryan Taylor is he's a little bit flexible in that he seems to be almost the top guy who can line up in the backfield and be maybe a lead blocker for him. I felt like last year his role was kind of valuable that way. I think he's the best, you know, H-back kind of tight end the Packers had last year. But, I mean, he could certainly be supplanted by Colt Laierla in that regard, or Richard Rodgers too. So I'm not really sure. So Ryan Taylor's got to go in one direction, either special teams ace or bigger contributor on offense if he's going to make the team. Jake Stoneburner is back last year. I was very disappointed in his play in 2013, albeit I give all rookies a pass. You know, just being young and inexperienced and prone to, you know, enthusiasm and nerves taking over during games. He had three special teams penalties last year, I believe the number was. You know, not good. But again, I mean, there was a reason the Packers signed him last year is because of his receiving ability at Ohio State University, big-time college football program. You know, maybe he took a big leap in the offseason. And again, waiting to see it during training camp. We'll see if it happened. Finally, rounding off the position here, Justin Perillo, an undrafted rookie the Packers signed out of the University of Maine. Small school program, but caught a lot of passes there. If I remember, he caught like 130-plus passes over his college career. That's a pretty darn good number for a tight end. Don't know much about him. Haven't seen him in person yet, but we'll see. Not ruling him out till I do see him. I think he's a long shot, but again, that's what training camp for. That's my, you know, my saying here. Let's see all these guys in pads. You know, that's what this is all about, and it starts now. Today, players reported. We've got it all in this morning's Packers calendar at Cheesehead TV. Players, according to Ted Thompson, at yesterday's Thursday's shareholders meeting, Packers players reported at 6 a.m. this morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. before you probably even woke up, for testing, for physicals, probably have meetings today, no practice taking place, just getting all, you know, the housekeeping duties out of the way today. And football is tomorrow, fairly bright and early. What is it, 8:20, 8:30 a.m.? I think it's 8:20 a.m. tomorrow morning. So we're all excited here at Cheesehead TV and Railbird Central for that. So that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. I have no call to action today. Feel this as the day you can just feel good about getting a free episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everybody so much for listening to it. I appreciate it. Oh, by the way, though, I should mention no episode of Railbird Central on Monday. I will be at training camp in person. That is why there will be no Railbird Central. Going up to Green Bay, I'm going to hopefully do some live reporting for you in that I'll have some nice things to put on the blog from my time there. Hopefully that'll make up for it. But I plan to be back for next Wednesday's episode of Railbird Central. So just taking one episode off on Monday, but we'll see you soon. Most every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at CheeseheadTV.com, on iTunes, on all sorts of apps like Stitcher, whatever you use. On behalf of Jamie Snow and I'm Brian Kirby, we'll see you later, folks. I got a song today called Ace in the Hole by the Radiators on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.